Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports. That's right, the sports podcast that goes balls deep on all the topics that you guys want to know about. Of course, it's not just me, Rod, by myself. I have co-host to talk my sports with. As he's been on every show so far, let me introduce him first. What's going on, Justin? How you doing?
Yeah, buddy. What's going on, my dude? What's going on?
Chilling J Trill.
Ski-wee. Karen. Chris, how you doing?
We also have people that I haven't introduced yet that Justin is talking to. A person that has been on none of the Balls Deep shows so far, but people know that she knows some things about sports. It's Karen from the Black Guy with Tips.
What's up? It feel good to be the guest and not a host, because I think Justin took that spot.
Yeah. So she's the host of her own show, Lip Smacking Good, all about food and food culture. And, you know, it's good to have someone here, and I'm sure you'll have plenty of things to say about Balls Deep. You're the first woman to ever go balls deep on sports. Yeah. We also have a man that is notorious for trolling people on Twitter and stuff like that, and having his own sports opinions whenever he feels it's convenient. It's my man Chris from the Insanity Check Podcast. What's up, dog?
What's up, man? Can I just say I love the names of all your premium shows. Balls Deep is just, that is, what can we do with that, yo?
Yeah.
you got to get a premium account when you hear the name of the sports show is Balls Deep.
Yeah, especially when you have dudes that are on the show, and occasionally they'll like hashtag it or talk about the show, and they'll be like, "Oh man, Balls Deep was so good." And this is like, right. "What are you talking about?" It's like, "Justin, you ready to go balls deep next week?" "Yeah, man, we're gonna go balls deep." Thanks, bro.
Like, when this, like, as this shit blows up, yo, the marketing for this.
Yes.
Like, we're gonna talk about it later, but I'm telling you, just think. Tiger Woods endorsements. That's all I'm going to say.
Nice. We'll get some celebrities calling in and giving us some ads. Well, first of all, a lot of shit happened in sports this week. And we're going to talk about a lot of it, man. I got a lot of articles. We'll try to be brief on some of them. Not everything deserves our undying attention. But some things we're really going to have to sit down and get into. First things first, and I know Chris is kind of more of a casual observer of this, but it's playoff time for the NBA. So this is when the games start happening once every 7 days, in the series. And, people have a little more time to catch a game, because, you know, this is the end of sports for black people. After this, it goes to baseball, which we don't watch. And then, we have to wait for the NFL and college football to start. And that's going to take forever.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Worst time in sports.
It really is. You know?
I mean, well, I'm an MMA fan now, so I have that now, but before then, dude, worst time in sports, man.
This is what gets me back in the gym.
Right. You're like, well, I guess I might as well go play some ball, because I can't watch any. So the two series we have going on right now, I'll get to the boring one first. Spurs versus the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
It's 2-0. Spurs are up. Not really a big deal to me, because the Spurs are at home and they're supposed to be up 2-0. So to me, the only thing was, in the first game, Zach Randolph played like shit, and they got blown out. And the second game was much closer, but they still lost.
And Zach still played like shit.
So I'm feeling like, you know, when they get home this weekend and they start playing some games, you know, in Memphis, that hopefully we'll get some wins from Memphis. Because at this point, I'm now just rooting for more basketball.
And can I say this? I mean, I know Zach Randolph used to white women.
Right.
I know they've always approached him, you know, after the game, before the game.
Of course.
Trying to have his seed.
Yes.
But I think in San Antonio, playoff time, he wasn't used to this level of white women.
It's a different level of white women.
At this stage in the playoffs. You know, he's not used to that.
Everything is bigger in Texas.
He's not used to that.
Yes, it is.
Now, for the record, he's beaten the Spurs before in the playoffs a couple years ago.
Western Conference Finals, though.
Well, that was how he made his name. You know what I'm saying? Like, now when he returns, the hoes know who he is. Before the first time, it was like, who is this nigga smashing Tim Duncan every night? This is crazy. Now it's like, oh, I'd like to see him go balls deep. So yep. I think it's changed the game.
It's fucking his game up, man. I need for him to leave these hoes alone.
But
I want him to make it competitive.
So as a series, though, what do you think about it, Justin?
Like, I'm actually enjoying it, man. It's been two games, you know, with everybody playing good except Zach. Mark Gasol has just been just tremendous each game. And then the last game, you know, it was a great game. It went down to the wire. So I've enjoyed that type of basketball. It's very physical. I love to see your boy crawling around on the floor. It just reminded me of your boy from Boston. I'm not going to say his name. That always has to get a wheelchair. Comes back in the third quarter. But, you know, when Tony Allen got that, flagrant foul by Ginobili, it was poetic, man. I was like, I love this. It was just poetic.
I still think he was faking, though.
He definitely was faking.
He hits the ground, and in slow motion, there's like a good half second of, I need to get this flavor. And then he grabbed his head.
Yeah, he grabbed his head. I was like, dude, but his head didn't hit the ground.
Right. Like,
I've always said that the NBA has some of the worst actors in history, yo. They're so bad.
But I loved it. It was Ginobili was the one that did it. Normally he's flopping.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is beautiful right here. How could this get, who could not appreciate and love this? I hopped right on Twitter when I saw that.
Now, Karen, have you seen any of the Memphis Spurs series?
I seen the second game.
What'd you think?
It was actually really, really good. It was a close game. I personally think the Spurs are boring as shit. That's just my personal opinion.
They're very boring to watch.
No, they are.
They play very fundamental basketball.
The kind of person that likes the Spurs is the kind of person I don't want to hang out with. You know what I mean? When they're like, well, look, I just like seeing some good fundamental basketball. It's exciting to watch a solid bounce pass and fundamental post up and good defense. I'm like, that's exciting to you. I like seeing niggas get dunked on, crossed over and embarrassed. I like that stuff. Like the Spurs were much more interested in playing against the Warriors.
That's why I didn't watch the first game.
Warriors made them have to do shit. Like, Ginobili crossed the shit out of Harrison Barnes, broke his ankle, and missed a jumper. But you don't see him. He's not going to do that at all in this series because he's like, I don't have to, you know? So, yeah, I agree.
The Spurs are that white dude that plays pickup ball with you in the gym who you want to clown because he has his shorts hiked up.
Right.
But his fundamentals are so good, he still gets to the rim and you can't stop him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he's good, but you hate him for it.
Yes. Yeah.
His every open J.
Every open J. Buckets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he don't talk shit or nothing.
And he not gonna miss.
Right.
Nope.
But
yo, he does that other thing we talked about yesterday. No, Wednesday.
What was that?
He'll introduce himself to you.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those guys that goes up to you and goes, hi, man, I'm San Antonio Spurs. What's your name?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh, okay, cool, man. Nice to meet you. What do you guys do? You know, all that shit, and then he busts your ass on the court.
Or to shake hands before and after the game.
Set hard picks. Right.
Like, he hits the game-winning shot on you and then wants to shake your hand afterward, talking about some good game, buddy. Good game.
Man. Right.
Game-winning shots, man.
I don't like that shit, but,
Rod hit one Wednesday, man. It was.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of the all-timers, but, you know, it's nothing to a player like me. So, the gym got very excited, but I expected it to go in. So.
I mean, he's done that multiple times before, so he's correct. It's not new to him. However, you had to be there. It was beautiful. He hit the fadeaway, lean, almost at the top of the key. So it could have been a three if he chose to just step back one more time.
Mm-hmm.
in dude's face.
Yeah.
It only touched the nets. It was just beautiful.
I won't lie. It was a good looking ball. You know, when it left my hand, I said, I think that's game. And that shit went through so smooth.
Had the rotation on it. You was like, that's fundamental right there.
And my main thing was, don't let them see you celebrate. So I just hit it and turned around and let everybody jump on top of me.
Oh, yeah. We had to jump on his back. High five, man.
Yeah. But I was excited inside, but on the outside, I was like, yeah, that's what niggas do, dog. We put people off the court. But, so, Chris, have you seen any of this series, man?
Yeah. So I actually catch some of the games late at night when I come back from training. And, I'm actually rooting for the underdogs in both series because everybody keeps talking about how, man, if it's Memphis Pacers, nobody's going to watch that. I'm like, yeah, you are, because there's going to be no sports else on TV.
Nothing else.
So you're going to be forced to watch that shit. And you're going to fucking love it. But yeah, man, I like the way that Memphis doesn't give the fuck up, because weren't they getting blown out in that second game and they came back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I like the fact that they know that they're not supposed to technically be there, but they don't care. And yeah. I love a team like that. You yeah. know, I love a team that's not supposed to win and they don't care, and they're just going to go and they're going to scrap and they're going to make you try to win and force you to do it. But yeah, I hate the fucking Spurs, man. Yeah. Tony Parker's a great player, but I fucking hate him because he makes this shit look too easy.
You know yep. what made a difference the second half, too, was Zach Randolph. Actually, he had like a free throw or something like that.
Yeah.
Then he got a layup, and then next thing you know, like, points start coming easier and easier for the whole team.
Man, real talk, the first game, when you watch the clips of him at the end of the game, because like, when you're watching it in regular live television, it's already pretty bad, but when you just condense like the 60 seconds of him shooting at the basket and missing, it looks like him trying to point shave. It looks like blue chips.
Yep.
You know, like, where you just like, dude, how much are you getting paid for this shit? Cause these are layups. These aren't even jumpers or like, it's not like you're getting blocked. Like, you're getting off easy shots. You're one of the best big men in the NBA. Why can't you just turn around and put the ball in the basket?
Did you see
he basically had a Serge Ibaka. He's basically been Ibaka and Nuffy, right?
Yeah.
Some wide open dunks and shit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And there's one play in particular when he tried to lay it up backwards.
Yeah,
for
why?
No reason.
That is a hopeless little kid move. That's like the move you do against your daddy when your dad won't let you win, so you just start doing stupid shit like throwing it at the basket all hard or flipping it up without looking, like trying to trick him. That's what that shit looked like. Like, I'm gonna trick Tim Duncan and let me lay it up. No. Mm-hmm. Just turn around, put your shoulder into that motherfucker and lay it up. But speaking of putting your shoulder into people and laying it up.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
My nigga LeBron James.
Yes, sir.
This is the one like flaw that of my sports viewing. Obviously I'm biased towards LeBron because I like trolling people that hate him.
Yep.
I don't give a fuck if they sweep these niggas. I just like watching LeBron dominate and then go on Twitter and see how mad everybody is about it.
Yep.
See, I don't want the sweep, but I told you a few weeks ago, I want to extend basketball as much
right,
as possible.
Right, that's why I said I'm being a hypocrite, not you. I want the other sports series to go 7 games because I want to watch more basketball. This series, I'm like, bust their fucking ass because it will make the most people mad.
Yep.
And we're going to get into exactly why it will make people mad because after this game, I did some good trolling on Twitter for a good like 2 hours. And it was fun. So
you know the problem I have with people with the LeBron showing is, it's like, listen, I was there making fun of the 5-point game. I was there yeah. making fun of his, you know, the decision and shit like that. But at the same time, I still recognize that this nigga is gonna be good. Like,
yes.
This nigga's gonna be an all time great. Like, that's just, it's not a matter of, you know, if, it's a matter of just when. And so I feel like these people that have a problem with LeBron haven't come to grips with, you know, that nigga's good.
Like, it's yeah. all like the monkey's off his back now. It's time to just fall back.
And like the nigga's not gonna lose because like there's no stopping this dude. Like I said the other day, I was watching. I think it was it wasn't this series. It was the series before this. Who were they playing? The Bulls.
The Bulls.
And he had bullied some dude with like a freight train move to the rim on a layup. And I was just like, listen. When I was growing up, I watched Michael Jordan play, and I wanted to be like Mike. If I was growing up now and watching basketball, I wouldn't play basketball no more. There ain't no way I'm as physically gifted as LeBron. And I ain't trying to be, yo, hey, you got to take a charge. Against right. that nigga?
Yeah, 270? No. No, thank you.
Yeah. Not just not just 270. 270 and the fastest dude in the league. Remember, it's speed times the weight. Right. That equals the force of the collision.
Yeah, for who?
No.
For what?
No.
I got my check.
Yes.
It's direct deposit.
Yeah. Karen, can you go ahead and then I'll let Chris go. Karen, what was
you going to
say?
One thing about LeBron and one thing that I loved about this game, which pissed people off so much, is that he hit the motherfucking game-winning shot.
And it was a layup.
Man,
and
I jumped yes. up.
And for the first time I've ever seen it on Twitter, people said, now last week it was Durant should have went towards the basket. He was off in the fourth quarter. This is the first time I've ever seen people say a dude should have taken a harder shot to win a basketball game ever. I was like, they're like, well, he should have just shot the jumper if he really want to be. I was like, what do you live?
Clutch, cause he laid a jumper in. I'm like, it was 2.2 seconds on the clock. He got the ball at the top of the key. 2.2 seconds. And then the interview with the greatest part. Interview, he was like, well, LeBron, did you think you had enough time with 2.2? He was like, yeah, it was 2.2 seconds. Yeah, I had enough time.
Yeah, I'm the fastest dude in the NBA.
I mean, yeah, it's like, what else would you expect? And one thing that I love about LeBron is that this pisses people off. Everything they criticize him about, he improved statistically on. Right. Everything that they said you can improve on, he took the summer off, trained, and improved in everything across the board. But yet, you still talking. And that's why I was like, when he hit that shot, I was like, yes, motherfuckers, what y'all got to say
now? Well, you know what's funny, too, to add on top of that is he also is a really nice dude.
Yes.
And that's so really makes people
it's
mad.
Really the best revenge, because I can just look at people like, yeah, but he doesn't seem like an asshole. I mean, seems like a really nice guy. He doesn't taunt his opponents. He never fights. Like, he got pushed down in the Bull series, and I thought it was the most intimidating thing you can do, because Nazi Muhammad pushed him down with all his might, and Nazi Muhammad's a 7 foot tall center in the NBA. And LeBron hit the ground and didn't jump back up to fight. He sat there for a second like, what are you doing? This is basketball. Like, why would you push me on the ground?
Like, that's stupid.
Now you're going to get kicked out the game. How are you going to finish the rest of the game in the locker room? I'm only going
to. You know what it is? It's almost like Superman hate. Like, people hate Superman because they can't stop him. And so you got to be like, yo, man, that motherfucker's whack. He's whack, man. I could beat Superman. No, you can't.
Right.
Superman, no, you can't. You know the great thing about that clutch thing, though, with the layup? He's not clutch. If I remember correctly, I know I don't tweet about basketball or talk about how I watch basketball all the time. If I remember correctly, when he was in Cleveland and they were playing, wasn't there like a closeout game where he missed the layup and that's why that would cost him a game? And everybody killed him for it?
I believe, even if it wasn't in Cleveland, the first year with Miami, they couldn't win a regular season game in the clutch for a minute. Like, they were drawing up all these plays, trying to figure it out. I really think they figured it out, which is just don't give it away. But
that's the truth.
They were trying to figure out all this shit, and people were killing him. Like, it didn't even matter if he did he always does. The thing about LeBron James is, like, he's like a basketball terminator. His mind is just a computer of basketball. So when you watch him play, he always does the most high percentage play. And most of the time on the last shot of the game, when you're getting triple teamed, it's going to be a pass out to somebody else. And every time he did it, people would be like, why'd he pass it? As long as the shot didn't go in, why'd he pass it? He should be shooting that. So then he starts shooting and they're like, well, why is he shooting jumpers? Why did he get to the basket? You know, he can't shoot that well. Gets to the basket and they go, why isn't Roy Hibbert in the game? Why didn't he shoot a jumper? Fuck y'all. He won. That's why.
And this is actually why while I do watch basketball, I've stopped really talking about it. Like, even basketball and football, because casual fans just, I have a lot of knowledge about basketball and football. I hate dealing with these people. Like, I remember Steve Kerr hit the game winning shot because Michael Jordan kicked it out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, Michael Jordan told him, listen, they're going to triple team me. You're going to be open in the corner. Make that fucking shot.
Or I'll punch you in the face.
Right, or I'll punch you in the face. I mean, typical Michael Jordan. But it's like, that is what good players do. When you know you're getting triple double team, you don't go, well, I'm going to pull up for the jumper. No. You hit the open man who is going to hit the jumper because they have a wide open fucking shot.
Highest percentage play is what you are looking for. If you're a basketball machine, now everybody's not a basketball machine. Some people want to be heroes, but LeBron James throughout his career has proven that he's a fucking robot. So anyway, second game of that series is tonight. And, yeah, I hope the Heat fucking sweep them. Even if it costs me 3 extra games of basketball, the thing I did, after the game one layup is I went on Twitter and I started and I'm going to do this for the rest of the year. The LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan thing.
I saw that. I was like, I know what Ron's doing. I'm out.
But you said it last year. It's the summer of Bron this year. Last year,
now it's the year of Bron. We're extending it.
They tried to give everything away last year. Oh, LeBron couldn't have won this championship if it wasn't for D-Wade. He came back and saved the game, saved the team. Yeah, how's that looking?
Yeah. So I'm going to start the LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. And here's the key phrase that everyone always skips over because they interpret it as a career thing. And right. I'm not. I always add right now. And what I mean by right now isn't his career is better than Michael Jordan's is right now. I mean, a 70-year-old Michael Jordan has no fucking chance defending LeBron James.
Ain't that the truth?
In the NBA. And people hate to hear me say that. They start bringing up all these career statistics, how many titles he's won. That doesn't matter to me. Only thing I'm saying is Michael Jordan and his mom jeans that are like acid wash can bring his cheese ass out there if he want to, and cheese eyes will get ate the fuck up because LeBron will drop 40 on him if in a 1-to-1 game to 10 before Boy Jordan scores a point.
Even 1-on-1 Jordan in his prime,
no.
Bron this season.
Yeah.
Bron,
even like
right now, I think Bron, it might be 9-10, but Bron gets that one.
Well, here's the craziest part is I'm just saying this because you can't argue it.
Yeah,
like
right.
People will make arguments against career achievements, and when Jordan was averaging 40, you're like, okay, I get it. You guys, we all grew up loving Michael Jordan, so it's not, you know. But I'm definitely. You can't argue that LeBron is not better than Jordan right now, and also it makes the most people mad because they don't read it.
I'm saying it because LeBron plays excellent defense.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
I will not
let
the discussion get to where you're at, Justin, even though I agree. I don't even want to get there. I want them to be so mad at the first, because the only thing you read as soon as they win the game is, see, man, I'm telling y'all, LeBron James better than Michael Jordan is right now. Caps lock.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm saying.
No, you're bringing up something different.
I want to take it a step further.
I know, yeah, that's your timeline.
Yeah, but Roger don't.
That's your timeline.
Yeah, he just wants to end it.
I
want to
argue. I just want to argue with the Jordan fans who read that and go, man, fuck you, man, you crazy. And I go, really? Michael Jordan, you gonna hop out there in some loafers and D up LeBron James, you fucking idiot? Go ahead, Chris.
The other thing about it is, I'm a huge Jordan fan, but, he's not beaten. I don't think he beats LeBron.
Man, I'm just happy that I grew up in an era where I actually got to see Magic, Bird, Jordan,
Kobe,
Bron,
Duncan,
Olajuwon,
crazy, right?
Shaq,
Barkley, Karl Malone, like niggas that didn't win titles
was still great.
Are great, like Ewing.
I'll even give Ewing a shout out.
Yeah, like I would not like the guys who aren't winning titles right now. No offense to them, but. I'm not gonna ever turn back and be like, yo, man, I remember Carmelo Anthony was, he's just a nigga that could score a lot. He was like a tall Iverson, but I'm never gonna be the man, you just had to see it, you know?
And not only that, but we talking about practice live.
Right.
We're talking about practice. I saw that.
And even Iverson is considered a great player.
Mm-hmm. He was one of the ones you had to see.
Yes.
LeBron James disagreed with Michael Jordan's scouting report of him. So cheese eyes, you know how Jordan gets. He has to constantly stick his nose in, you know, other people's greatness since he can no longer play the game.
He took one dribble, dog.
Yeah. I'm watching the replay of the highlight on a GIF on my computer as we speak. So when LeBron James stopped on a dime, spun over his right shoulder and blew past Paul George for a game winning layup on Wednesday night, he wasn't just giving the Miami Heat a 1-0 lead over the Pacers. He also was proving Michael Jordan wrong again. When James received the inbound pass, George's momentary imbalance allowed James to drive to his left for the score. However, if Jordan's assessment of James had been correct, LeBron would have pulled up for the jumper rather than finishing at the rim. Speaking of ESPN's Wright Thompson, Michael Jordan at his 50th birthday party, hating on other players, as he always does.
Of course.
Said, so if I had to guard, if I had to guard LeBron James, I'm going to push him to the left. So 9 times out of 10, he's going to shoot a jump shot. If he goes right, he's going to the hole and I can't stop him. So I ain't letting him go right. So Paul George must have listened to this interview. Cause he thought I'll just go push him to his left.
Wait a minute.
Where'd he go?
Well, that's what they do. I think that was at 1 out of 10 times though.
Yeah. You know what? The 1 out of 10 times won the game.
right. Yeah. So it's like,
I actually think, I mean, because here's the thing. I didn't even take what Jordan said about, maybe it was like him just being an asshole, because Michael Jordan is an asshole. Fully admit, as a Jordan fan, you can't be a Jordan fan and not admit that he's a fucking raging asshole.
Ain't that
just
truth?
But my thing is, I think that's a good scouting report for LeBron. The caveat, though, is you're not going to stop LeBron.
Yeah. Like, the other thing he didn't say is that he's probably going to hit that jumper.
Right? Exactly.
Or somebody's coming off the weak side to double, so he has to pull up. Or
Jordan didn't want to admit the real truth, which is, and he'll probably hit that jump in my face, and I'll go down and get 40. Like, that's my real plan is, the part I'm not talking about is I plan to have 45 points, 6 assists, and 7 rebounds. So
I mean, because, like I said, man, like, watching today's NBA, like, even watching Kevin Durant, like, that dude is a monster. How tall is Kevin Durant?
It's like 7 feet.
Like, nigga. Yeah. This is a 7-footer that brings the fucking ball up in his fucking threes 5 feet behind the fucking line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nigga, I'm sorry. If I was in high school today with the build I had in high school back then when I was like, you know, 145 fucking pounds, yeah, I'm playing golf.
Yeah.
What's tennis per se?
What's soccer talking about?
Track. Right. Get on that track.
Like, yeah. No, swimming. What can you fucking do? Like, you got the Nate Robinsons who, like, I feel nice, dude. Congratulations. But you're not going to get, like, little niggas like that who are even mildly successful going in the future, because you're going to have 7 foot tall fuckers being point guards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say, cheese eyes, wrong again. speaking of being wrong again, god damn it, man. So, people following me on Twitter already know, Tuesday I had a little bit of a meltdown.
Yes, you did.
The NBA draft lottery came, and the draft lottery, of course, is when they put all the ping pong balls in the fucking machine and then determine who gets what pick. Based off your record, you have more chances to get a certain pick. Like, the bottom three teams have the biggest chance of getting the top three pick.
Yes.
And then it drops off a lot after that, the odds of it, you getting a top three pick. So everything was going chalk because they started at the bottom and they were, you know, counting off who had what pick. And all of a sudden, the Washington Wizards fucked everything up. Just completely fucked everything up. They suddenly had they were supposed to get number 8, but instead they got the number 3 spot, which basically jumped the Bobcats. dropped us out of a top 3 pick in this draft.
Yes.
To the number 4 spot. Which is just, you know, is terrible. Yes. Because I can't name 4 people in this draft that I want on my team.
None of them.
And everybody keeps being like, well, it's okay, maybe y'all will get so-and-so. I'm like, right, but there's a big difference in the NBA draft between maybe and yes, you're getting him.
I will get a guard.
Yeah, you know what? At number 3, I think someone's going to take Nerlens Noel, right? Because he's the big, like, he's going to be good one day if his knees will ever work. And then, there's, Otto, and then there's, Macklemore. And I like Macklemore, for our team. And
is that the guy from, UCLA?
No, he's from like Kansas. I think the dude from UCLA isn't that dude named Muhammad or some shit? Like,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
But, Muhammad. Okay. Yeah. I don't fuck with him. First of all, that dude has like 18 warning signs of a nigga that's going to get his paycheck and be like, fuck this. I'm rich. Like, that. Like, I'm not a fan of that shit, man. He already, I don't like dudes that already, like, he too aware of life shit and he in college, man. I need a dude that's a little naive, man. So, but yeah, this Macklemore dude is who I want because we need a guy that can, you know, score. And people are like, you might get him at number 4, man, but I refuse to get excited about that.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's too early, yeah, man. And of course this happened to the fucking Bobcats. We always end up sucking and then something fucked up happens to us in the draft lottery. And, you know, or when we do get the number 1 pick, Jordan's like, you know, let's do some other shit with it, you know? But we've never had the first pick ever. We've always had like 2 or below.
Yep.
And like, that's a bad luck because like, we'll be the number 2 pick in a draft where there's really only one guy you want.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. Now we're the number 4 pick in a draft where there's really only one guy you kind of want anyway. So anyway, I was very upset. And,
can I just say that I want to apologize to you as a Bobcat fan because it's really, I'm not a fan of them, but they're in my area. It's the Washington Wizards. Listen, dude, you have disappointment in them because they fucked it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, as a Washington area sports person, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when you come to the Washington DMV area to play any kind of professional sports, you are basically signing a contract to disappoint anybody who is depending on you. So I just want to say that it's technically, I don't fuck with them, but I apologize to you.
Well,
for
thanks,
that.
Man.
Yeah, thank you. We really needed that because me and Roger was basically sitting in there watching it. We kept seeing them. We was like, okay, because, you know, it was kind of going as.
Yeah, I don't know that Karen knows the complete rules of the draft.
Oh, I don't.
So, like, I'm watching it, and then I know, like, okay, Bobcats, Cleveland Cavaliers, and Orlando.
Yes.
Should all be the top three picks as long as every other pick goes right. So they're counting them down, like 13 is this, 12 is that, 11 is that, 10 is this. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And then they get to the Wizards and they're like, Toronto Raptors. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. The Wizards moved up into the top three? It was crazy because I was like, it's us. Immediately. There's two other teams it could be. I didn't even for a second go, damn, Cleveland got moved down. I was like, it's us. And Karen's like, what do you mean? I was like, it's us. And every time they're counting down, I was like, it's going to be us. It's going to be us. And they're like, and number four, the Charlotte Bobcats. I was like, fuck! And then right after that, I went and did a guest appearance on Where's My 40 Acres podcast. And I got drunk. But I decided a couple things that night. Number one, I'm probably not going to any Bobcats games next year. And number two, they will always be the Bobcats to me until they have an all-star level player.
No.
On the team. I will never buy.
They are the Hornets.
Any Bobcats gear. We have to earn that name. I don't give a fuck about us buying the name back. It's not going to make me feel like a little kid again until we have a player that is worth watching, man. Right now, we don't have one.
And that's true. And I think for me, what made me upset out of the whole thing is fuck Cleveland. Okay. Fuck y'all.
Oh God. Why'd it have to be them?
And the reason why I say this, play this is because you got a fucky ass sucky owner who thinks he owns his players. And on top of that, there will never be another LeBron James and y'all asses will be there next year. Do you understand this? Y'all will be there again.
I hate
next
that
year.
Little Jerry Maguire looking punk ass dude, man. Like he's not even young and adorable anymore. He's just a weirdo now. Like now he's a nerd that wears a bow tie and has glasses. It was cute 3 years ago when he was like fucking 11 or some shit, but now he's like 14. Dude, get some pussy and stop showing up to this fucking draft, fucking up the karma of the odds, dude. I don't need you around.
Man, you know what, Rod? To give you some hope, I know it's not a lot of hope, but the Wizards are notorious for fucking up. So you still might get the pick you want.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
You know, I mean, the Wizards are pretty fucked up.
I'm just not allowing myself to hope because I would rather not even get my hope. That's what happened with this draft. I was like, I got my hopes up. You know, hey, maybe we can even slide into the number one spot. You never know, man. Like, anybody has the odds and then we get fucked. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. We're Bobcast fans. Of course not. What the fuck was I thinking?
This is the one thing, especially with Jordan being an owner now, it's the one thing he can't bully himself into winning. And that's why the teams have sucked for
so long.
Right, and
I don't want to hear anyone ever say the draft lottery is fucking fixed again. No. Do you know how much Stern owes Michael Jordan? Of all the people in the world, David Stern and the NBA Basketball Association, that's right, National Basketball Association, Basketball Association, owes Michael Jordan more than any other player in the league history.
He do kind of owe Dan Gilbert a little more, though. I mean, he...
How?
Because he allowed Bron to leave. He could have vetoed that whole signing.
No, you don't understand
basketball.
I understand it.
Contracts work.
No, I get it. But Stern... Look, we talking about Stern.
Who does he... No.
This nigga vetoes any and everything he wants.
But who does he
owe more? It's Michael Jordan, man. There's really no I take every ability to take a shot at Michael Jordan. Like there's no shot I leave unshot. But on this one, I can't even pretend that Michael Jordan didn't resurrect the NBA from a drug-addled league of racist bullshit to this.
Listen, like, this Stern last year, Stern like, hey, I'm out of favors, Jordan. This is my last year. Man. I'm out. This for Dan. I owed Dan before I left.
Yeah. Well,
because I let LeBron leave.
Speaking of taking shots at people.
Okay.
This is one of the things I wanted Chris on here for. Because this shit happened and I started partying like it was 1999. As soon as I saw this, we got some good old golf racism back, y'all.
Oh Lord.
Mm-hmm. We needed that, yo. Mm-hmm. Golf needed this.
It's been a while.
This is what the world needs, man. It's so much to say about this story because, it involves so much, so many different elements. Tiger Woods and Sergio, Garcia. Don't like each other.
So is he black, white, or other?
Sergio Garcia in this case is white. Now, a lot of people would be like, well, Rod, don't you think that everybody that his last name Garcia, so he's Spanish? No, if Sergio got out the car in South Carolina at night, he looks like a white dude.
Oh, now, yes, he does.
So they would be like, sir, can I see your license? Then they would see his license. They'd be like, you goddamn rice and bean eating nigger. But until then, he would be white, man. So and you'll see why later. So Sergio's white.
He wasn't them European Hispanics.
Yeah, right. You know, he not trill like, you know, the Latinos.
He got the George Zimmerman thing going on, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his tan ain't right.
The verbal feuding began May 11th. It is May 24th, guys. During the third round of the Players' Championship, it resumed this week on both sides of the Atlantic when Woods offered a one-word answer if he thought about contacting Garcia to put the matter to rest. No, he said with a tight smile. You know that Tiger Woods asshole smile he always does.
The one he learned from Jordan? Yeah.
He even put his deep voice on for it, too.
Garcia fired back at a sponsored function outside of London. He said, he called me a whiner. That's probably right. It also probably is the first thing he's told you guys that's true in 15 years. I know what he is. You guys, what he is like, you guys are finding out. Now, this has become an ongoing theme, and this is one of the reasons that I really only can root for Tiger in golf. It's a sport full of snitches, dog. There's no guy code.
They even call in a snitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, the fans call in. You were like, motherfucker, you can call in 15 days after something happened and report it, and they'll go back and look, what?
Yeah, it encourages snitching. Like, you can't do that in the NBA. I can't be like, hey, guys, I was watching the Heat game the other night, and I'm pretty sure Dwayne Wade's foot was on the line when he hit the game.
Man, shut that bitch ass shit up.
We'll put you through to the claims department. Look, 1 second.
I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble.
Right.
I want to remain anonymous.
It's just the rules, guys. When LeBron shoots that free throw to end the game, I noticed Shane Battier kind of stepped over the 3-point line before it left his head. No one seemed to notice because it went in, but if you take that point away in the third quarter, I think they have a tie game and they should play overtime. It's like, look, dog, stop using up my anytime minutes. Right. But they encourage that. And even worse than the fans, the fucking players are constantly alluding to the fact that Tiger Woods cheated on his girl. How the fuck is that a value judgment of him as a golfer?
It's not.
I'm a little disappointed in Tiger too, man.
How so?
Irrelevant to this story, but he's never just been like, you know what? I was cheating on my wife.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting some pussy, dog. Like, listen, I had bitches everywhere. I got holes and area codes. Like, that's how I get down. She was with it when we was dating.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed when he did the press conference. And me I was too. Like, oh, dude, come on.
Remember that nigga came out there looking like Sammy Sosa after he got those bleaching treatments?
All light skin and everything for cheating. Like, and again, that's why, like Rod said, this is why I can't fuck with golf. It's too proper.
Yeah,
it's just too fucking proper. That you know, Kobe Bryant cheats on his wife. It's like, well, he cheated on his wife. He got her a ring. All right, cool. He's a like Kobe Bryant goes through a rape trial.
Right.
He goes through a rape trial.
And it wasn't that he. Here's the thing. He ended a rape trial by admitting he cheated.
Right.
So that's the, like, golf, that would be like the, what, he cheated?
Right.
Basketball is like, no, I didn't rape her. I cheated on my wife. And everybody's like, okay.
Makes sense now. Gotcha. It makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So she lying. Yeah, she lying, man. I mean, I fucked her.
Like, but, I was reading some of the, like, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I think I had you on for that show, Rob, where we were talking about the dude that was complaining about how, Nike came up with that ad that says winning changes everything. They're like, no, it doesn't. We still remember what Tiger did. It's like he cheated on his wife. Who gives a shit?
Right.
See, that's not how I remember it. I remember him getting some pussy.
Right.
Yeah, it's already worked. It's already worked on Justin.
And the thing is that it's amazing when it comes to sports and golf. Everybody gets upset when a lot of men cheat on their motherfucking wives every day, but you don't question the CEO of your job or the chief officer of your job or your manager and demand that they get fired.
Yeah, you know a dude right now that you've seen out at somewhere eating or a club or some shit, someplace he had no business being.
Some of us have been that dude.
Right.
True.
And these dudes are sitting up here like, I don't know. I've never met a sport with more schmucks in
Shout out to my Twitter honeys.
Than this shit, man.
Yo, you know, all jokes aside, though, Tiger really kind of broke the mold, and he kind of broke away from the boys club. Because if you think about it, golf, they didn't allow women at the country club. You can't be a member. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, who? No, I want women. I want women cheerleaders. I want more women there.
Right.
And that's all Tiger did, and they mad at him for that.
Right, for like, integrating the league.
You mad at him for bringing some hoes to the golf course
so
to go get his bill.
Garcia tried to tone down his barbs on Tuesday. He said, I can't like everybody, and there's people that you connect with, and there's people that you don't. He doesn't need me in his life. I don't need him in mine. Let's move on and keep doing what we're doing. There's never really been a true connection. I would have maybe... Luke or Adam Scott or some other guys that I get along with. So what? Okay. Anyway, said, I think we should move on, forget. Well, it would be difficult to forget, but kind of move on from what happened. Now, here's what I will say about this. One, that's kind of some bullshit. You know, he doesn't really believe that, but, it says something, and this always happens. It says something about him. There's a mental deficiency in, Garcia. Because the truth of the matter is, if you read past between the lines, he wanted to be Tiger's friend, and Tiger didn't ever want to be his friend back, right. So he got mad.
Yo, Tiger didn't invite him over for them hoe parties, yo.
Right. He's like, but what about the hoe parties, Tiger? I heard you be having the most hoes. He's like, nah, man, all these fives and sixes is for me.
y'all like him snitching too much, man. Y'all can't. I can't kick it with y'all.
No. He's like, I just met two chicks at Denny's today, so I'm not fucking with you, bro.
You want to know how I got them, though? You want to know how I got him?
I think, you ever seen
a black man's penis?
Oh, Lord.
That is how
I
got him.
I think dude might be mad because he was trying to get it to Lindsey Vonn, and Tiger was like, nope. That's mine.
And here's the other thing, though. If I'm Tiger, I'm not even kicking it with the two dudes that he named as friends. No, actually, I take that back. I make them my friends even though I don't really like them.
Yeah.
Your friends are now my friends, bitch, and you're not invited.
And so I'm leading up with all the history of this because, you know, a lot of, we're going to get to the real meat and potatoes of this, literally. But he says the animosity between them goes back to as far as 2000. For the record, Garcia has never won any majors. And like, I don't even know if he's ever won a tournament. Okay.
Did Tiger even know his name until the reporter brought it up?
How you gonna have beef with me and I don't know you exist? You know, it's like, hey man, fuck you. Who was that guy, Justin? Yeah. I don't know. He said something about he hates you though.
I think his name is, Billy Graham. Is that the,
no, that's not him.
Yeah, well, is that
Don Imus?
No.
Is that Imus?
I think he's Mexican. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the Latino guy on the tour? No.
I'm not sure.
So, it goes back to 2000 when Garcia beat Woods in Monday night's Battle of the Bighorn, in the Monday night Battle of the Bighorn and celebrated it as if he had won something much more important. 2 years later, at the U.S. Open, where Woods won wire to wire, Garcia complained that the second round should have been halted because of rain, and that if Tiger Woods would have been out there, it would have been called.
See, this is why I hate golf, yo. Fuck these dudes, yo.
That's a meat peeping statement, sir. Stay out of that man's pants. The latest chapter took place in the second fairway of TPC Sawgrass in the third round when Garcia had a one-shot lead. He was preparing to play his second shot on the par five from the fairway when he was disrupted by cheers from the gallery around Woods deep in the trees. probably balls deep in the trees. Woods was about 50 yards away and couldn't see the Spaniard. The crowd burst into cheers when Woods took a 5-wood from his bag to play a risky shot through a gap in the trees.
And 50 yards is a large distance.
Yeah, let's have a football field. Also, this is one of the things I hate about golf. If you can't hit a ball because people are cheering, then you're a fucking pussy. Sorry.
Yes.
And if you're listening to this and you play golf and you're like, but it's really hard. Yeah, it's a pussy sport.
It's no different than Kobe hitting clutch free throws right at the end of every game while they're yelling MVP.
They're so, right. They're such entitled mama's boys, man. I hate those dudes. During a storm delay, Garcia suggested in a TV interview that Woods could have kept the crowd from cheering if he had been closer, paying closer attention. Later that evening, Woods said he understood from Marshall that Garcia had already hit. And he said, not really surprising that he's complaining about something. That's what Woods said. Then Garcia said to Sky Sports that Woods is not the nicest guy on the tour. So that was how it started off.
What I'm getting from this history of this shit is, that nigga is too good and he's not letting me do what I want, and I don't know why we let black people play golf anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cause let's get to the real thing that sparked all this shit. That's some of the history. There's even more shit in this. I'm just not reading all of it. This is how far it goes back, and I'm sure most of it is stuff Garcia remembers and Tiger doesn't, by the way.
Right. You know, Tiger Woods treated him, normally it's the dude that lose and take his ball and go home, but Tiger won. And took his ball and went home.
So everybody should remember this clip. Let me see if I can play it for the listeners.
He's doing quite well. Pretty impressive. Little boy's driving it well. He's putting well. He's doing everything it takes to win. So you know what you guys do when he gets in here? Pat him on the back, say congratulations, enjoy it, and tell him not to serve fried chicken next year. Got it.
All right. Oh, Lord.
That is Fuzzy Zeller from way back in the day when Tiger Woods, wow, in 1997... When Tiger Woods was playing in the Masters, and he told him that he told the press, first he called Tiger a little boy.
Yeah, that's what upset me more than the fried chicken.
And then he said he brought up the fried chicken shit. He later apologized and said it was a joke gone wrong, but did y'all, sir, that sound like a joke to y'all?
No, that sounded fucking racist.
I didn't laugh. And normally, you know, if it's nothing wrong, if it's funny. That's the motto of the Black Guy Tales podcast.
But I didn't hear no behind that.
Now, for the record, I just want to go on record. I would have laughed if he had delivered it right. He just fucked up the delivery.
That's true. If he would have delivered it right, yes.
Yeah. But go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Well, no, let's go get to the Sergio Garcia thing. Okay, then I'll say what I gotta say.
All right, so now Sergio Garcia, 2013, like 16 years later, some shit, right? He says that they basically said, hey, would you apologize to, you know, could you and Tiger Woods, like, make up over this? He said, you know, the press was like, maybe you should have him over for dinner. He said, oh, we'll have him around every night. We will serve fried chicken. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thought he was clever. Thought he was going to get away with it. 2013. Chris, what were you going to say, man?
So here's my thing. And this is something you brought up with the Onion's cunt tweet and shit like that.
Yeah.
And the same thing that happened with Rick Ross. I am actually don't have a problem with the racial comments and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you just admit to them.
Yep.
Like, it was a bad attempt at a racial joke,
mm-hmm.
or it really was a joke because this dude's hurt.
Yeah, he could have said it was a joke until you read. That's why I had to read that first article, right, so people could be like, "Oh no, he means it."
So it's like, dude, you don't like dude, and so you made a racial comment to disrespect him. I don't think it necessarily makes you a racist. It just means you don't like this motherfucker that you're gonna say some fucked up disrespectful shit just to say it. All right. My problem is when dudes in after fact go, well, no, I didn't mean it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. That's where my fuck you comes in at. Cause dude, you did fucking mean it.
Now I'm more offended at the fact that, Fuzzy Zeller actually offered him fried chicken, but he also brought up Kool-Aid and, he said he could use some of the greens on the course to make greens.
Right.
At one point. And, now in 2013, he's not even getting any side dishes. Right. I mean, can we get some no potatoes, mac and cheese. Like, how you just gonna
potato
just
salad?
Cut them down to just fried chicken? That no is very disrespectful, tea. Garcia.
I mean, come on, let's go out. Let's go to Hall Malls, Peak Feet. I mean, right. Since we talking about all the country food.
I wonder what Tiger Woods' girlfriend said when she heard it, and then they had a conversation.
Oh, okay. This is my Tiger Woods. You be Tiger Woods. I'll be his girlfriend. You go ahead. All
right. So I'm coming in. Hey, honey, I'm home.
Hey, what's up?
Not too much, you know. Just hearing reports on the radio on the way home, hearing that guy Garcia saying some.
Huh?
Oh, nothing.
Yeah, Tiger Woods doesn't talk to his girls, dog. Tiger Woods ain't never had a fucking conversation with those blind bimbos, man.
No,
like, put my dick in your mouth and give me some fried chicken. Having no conversations with them tricks, man. Oh, Tiger don't respect them hoes. If that's one thing we did learn about Tiger, whether you respect it or not, he does not have any love for them hoes, man.
Oh, no.
I thought it was talking about marrying this one.
Laura Eldridge was so pissed at that shit, yo. She was so pissed.
She was overworked. He's the only dude that has ever given Gloria Eldridge too much work. She's like, you know what, Tiger? I'm going to get these ladies, and I'm going to get all two, three, four. We're going to sue six. God damn, nigga.
First thing about that shit was, it wasn't like she was trying to get money anymore.
Right.
She just broke it down to, I just want an apology, man. Tiger, yeah.
It was pro bono. Like, she does all this shit pro bono. So she's just hoping that the woman sue you and then she'll get paid if they get anything. But it got to a point where she's like, Tiger, you just need to come out and tell everybody that you apologize and you respect them because I can't file 27 cases. I have too much to do.
Tiger, can you just admit that you know her last name? Yeah. Can you do that for me, please?
She said you gave her half of a number six at Subway. Now, we'll set out of court for a fourth of the number six, and, if that's okay with you. Yeah, go ahead.
So with this fried chicken thing, first of all, like you said, it's a terrible delivery, and I hate the fact that it's like, dude, you can't back away from it. Now, that said, I am not with the group of people that after this were just like so upset that it's 2013 and we're still making racial jokes. I'm like my former co-host and one of my best friends is half Asian, and we call her Rice.
Mm-hmm. Rice Wonton.
Yes. Rice Wonton. Now, granted, she came up with the name herself. But we still call her Rice in public. Like, I'm texting her. I'm like, hey, what's up, Rice? Like, in emails, I'll say Rice. Like, it's got to the point where people are like, who the fuck is Rice? I was like, oh, that's her, because she's half Asian. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's all about the context of the racial jokes. And in this case, it's like, Sergio, you don't like Tiger. And that's why you made the joke. And just admit this shit.
Yeah, stop lying. We're not stupid.
Right.
And also, you don't feel sorry. Just be like, I said it, fuck him. And I'm going to go, you know what? Standing ovation. That's the thing, man. People say a lot of fucked up shit all the time. Our podcast, that's what we kind of cover. People doing and saying fucked up shit. Very rarely, like maybe less than 1% of the time, does anybody go, yeah, fuck that person. I don't like them. Like, I've said fucked up shit and I still truly believe it. I'll never apologize. Cause I'd just be like, no, I still believe that. Mm-hmm. So fuck you. Like forever, dude. If I see you, it's gonna always be fuck you, dog. We're never gonna be cool until you have done something that makes you no more longer a fuck you person.
And I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for a person and like a famous person to do that.
Yeah.
Like
we haven't had one since like Joe Louis.
You're right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I've actually told people this. If Chris Brown was ever to do this, at one point, just say, man, fuck it. Yeah, I'm an asshole. I'll beat my ex-girlfriend. I don't give a shit. Fuck all you motherfuckers. And not try to come back an hour later and try to take all that shit back and delete his account.
Mm-hmm.
I actually might become a Chris Brown fan.
Yeah. I would respect him. I would respect him so much more.
Right, because I'm like, finally, that's all you have to do. You are an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually why I'm still a Jordan fan.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga, like, that Hall of Fame speech? Oh,
the best.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Don't confuse my Jordan hate. when not being a Jordan fan. That nigga is my favorite player, dog. I fucks with Michael Jordan, but I also think he's a asshole that he would roast me if he had the chance, so I'd roast him.
Oh, dude, that goddamn Hall of Fame speech is still one of the greatest shits ever, yo. People hated that. I was like, dude, he brought up the dude that made the high school team over him.
Dude.
And he brought him to
flew him out.
He flew him out there from his shift at the chicken factory in fucking Tarboro, North Carolina, to be like, hey, remember when you were a senior and I was a freshman and you made the basketball team over me? And he's like, yeah, I remember that, Mike. I rooted for you every day. When I went to the chicken plant, I keep up with you to this day, man. I named my little son Michael after you because you one of the most influential. Fuck you, nigga. You took my spot
on national television.
That's all when people are like, yo, you know, Darth Kobe. I'm like, no, Kobe hasn't reached that low because Kobe still gives a shit what people think of him. Like, right. Michael never cared.
Yeah.
Like you said, Michael would dunk on a grandmother if it meant like finals MVP. Yo.
You know
like,
what? I think
I don't know how much Kobe cares about what people think about him.
I think Chris just gave me an idea for a very special episode of this show where I'm just gonna play that fucking speech and comment on it.
Yeah, dude, it's the greatest shit ever. I want in on that day too.
Yeah, okay, I got you because that's one of the best. Because you know what? It's about to get real slow during the summer.
Yep.
We are doing the Michael Jordan roast live commentary. that shit was one of the foulest things I've ever seen in my life. And it was a random middle of the summer Friday. Mm-hmm. And I remember like barely paying attention because a couple people went before him. The woman who coaches at Rutgers. John Stockton. But then this nigga Michael Jordan got up there, and I have never tweeted so much in my life. I think that was the start of my getting a bunch of live, like, followers, because I was like, yo, Michael Jordan just said that he just looked at Karl Malone and John Stockton and reminded them that he's the reason they never won shit. And I don't think you're supposed to be able to do that, and I've been telling y'all he's an asshole for years, and now you can't deny it.
Yes, he called out all his old coaches, all his old teammates.
This nigga was, he had Dean Smith there to tell Dean Smith, fuck you for not putting me on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a freshman.
What?
James Worthy was starting over you, Mike. Like, it's not like it was just a no name.
He got rings too, man.
Yeah, and he had been there for like two more years than you.
Yo, dog, this shit was seriously.
I got you, Chris. I got you, bro.
Greatest shit ever, yo. I'm in tears over here just remembering it, yo.
I can't. Hey, if you haven't seen that, you're listening. Go YouTube that shit.
Yo, I'm telling you. Like, people hated it. But to go back, to bring it back to what we were talking about with the talk, like, that is, it's not for everybody, but I'm like, if you're going to go out there and say some disrespectful, evil-ass shit, own it.
Yep.
You know? And people are not going to like you, but they're not going to like you anyway.
Yep.
So you might as well just say, fuck it. And yeah, I said that about Tiger Woods, but I don't fuck with him.
Yep.
All right, cool. You know, I'd actually be like, well, you know, it is what
and
it is.
And it ends everything. It ends everything. That's what people don't understand.
Right.
Well, you say, I'm not apologizing and I always will mean it. Mm-hmm. I'll keep you updated if I change my mind. It actually ends shit because people are like, oh, no, fuck Rod.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, well, why fuck him? Trust me. He said fuck me and fuck him back. So it's done.
Know, Tiger really just need to show up with all the different chickens.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Popeye's, Church's, Bojangles.
Just once, I would
KFC.
Love to see.
Like, just before they play, just sit down and have them laid out like a nice spread.
Nah, fuck that, Justin. I'm gonna take it to the next level.
Oh, Lord.
I say, when he wins, his caddy pulls out a bucket of chicken.
Hell yes, with fixes and everything.
He just, like, takes a big ass bite
of it.
Like, sign an endorsement deal secretly with, like, fucking KFC or
and
Popeye's
Kool-Aid.
Or something. Right. And just fucking bite right into it, look in the camera like, fuck these white people.
And even better, drinking some Kool-Aid, had a Kool-Aid man say, oh, yeah.
Oh, he could make so much money.
Yes.
Do you know he would, he would make more money doing that than anything.
So, we got to move on to some other stuff. And this will all be pretty quick, I think, for the most part. First of all, J.R. Smith said he battled knee pain during the New York Knicks, six game, series against the Pacers where they lost, even though.
Was that from begging Rihanna to come? Like, what was that from? Like,
scuffed him up.
It was probably from sucking so much because he sucked during the series. And Carmelo Anthony apparently was fighting through a shoulder tear in the playoffs.
Oh, it's coming out now. Did everybody was injured?
Yeah. So what I got to say to that is excuses, excuses. Y'all lost, nigga. So I don't care. Stop trying to come up with shit on the, like, you could always tell the people that are going to lose because they start coming up with them excuses. Like, well, what about, my knee? It was hurt. Well, didn't you play in all the games? I mean, yeah, but you know, I was battling through it. Okay, then, dog.
Can I just say that the Knicks are that team? Like, I hate the Spurs, but I don't mind. If they win, it's just like, all right, cool. The Knicks are that team that I don't ever want to win.
Yeah.
Because their fans are the most annoying. Like, they win 8 games at the beginning of the season. Oh, we're going to the finals. All right, you know what? Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. Yeah. I hope you guys lose. Like, I don't want the Knicks to ever win.
The problem with the Knicks is that all the media is in New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we get all their excited journalists overhyping these niggas like they important.
Right.
When if you live out in the middle of, like, anywhere else but New York City,
you're like,
why are we talking about this mediocre team for 20 minutes of SportsCenter?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, y'all wouldn't be covering, I don't know, the Pacers like this. Who are better than them. And they're like, nah, man, Pacers suck, dog. It's all about the Knicks. We got a better record. Have you watched the Pacers, man? Fuck that, flyover state team. Okay, bro. Mm-hmm. So, what happened, man? My knee was hurt. My shoulder was out of place. Okay. Right. That's what happened. Speaking of excuses, Roy Hibbert called out Shane Battier for using dirty tactics during the Heat's Game 1 overtime victory.
I wish I could see this picture.
It's Shane Battier going up for a layup, and he lifted his knee up to protect himself and right into Roy Hibbert's stomach. And where I'm from, that's called basketball.
Not where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
That'll lead to a fight where I'm from.
Right, but then you just got to fight him. You can't.
Right.
Like, I'm not a fan of this. Let's go to the media after the game and be like, he hit too hard. No, you were out there for 48.
Basketball.
Yeah, you were out there for 48 plus minutes, nigga. Take care of it.
Yeah, if it's that bad, stop brawling or something.
You get one time to knee me or kick me, you won't want to do it again.
Yeah,
I guarantee
it. You can't knee me like that. That's, it's not a real basketball move. That's deliberate. I'm going up with my knee. I hope you're in the way.
This is what losers do. You lose and then you complain.
The other thing too is Roy Hibbert. I've said this before. He just looks awkward. He's like a baby giraffe that's too big for his body. I've watched him since like he was in college. And I'm just like, he just don't seem right.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right, dude. Mm-hmm. You're too big. Like, you can't complain about a move like that if you're bigger than the dude making the move.
Dude.
That means he doesn't respect you, and well, nigga, that's on you.
I'm gonna tell you, like, the people that blackmail Mark Jackson, concentrate and fuck him up. He's a fake ass man of God.
Oh Lord.
Look, man, don't make excuses after the shit is over with, man. I hate that shit, man. We play ball with a dude that every time we lose, he got like a million fucking reasons why we lost on the sideline. I'm like, but we was out there. Remember when we was playing? You could have done something about this shit. Now you're talking about, I don't like the way they be fouling. Did fuck them up?
We tried to make adjustments during the game.
Right.
Like easily you could have just put your elbow out there as he's doing that and kneed him in the throat as he comes up with the elbow. And guess what? Your elbow would have won because you like 7'10".
And he didn't foul out, by the way.
Right.
So
right.
If you're telling me this and you didn't foul out, fuck you.
Like, did you foul him back at some point in the game?
Right.
Nope. All right, shut the fuck up.
You know who people didn't jump into like this? Shaq. Because he would elbow your ass in your motherfucking face on the next time down. It was like.
Right. He would come down and then a little spin post move he does with the elbow and then try to act shocked like he didn't know his elbow connected with your face.
Right.
He's like, oh. For that face. That, oh, I just elbowed. I didn't elbow him, did I?
He's like, come on, ref. We calling those? Wow. That's crazy because when he put his knee in my chest, nobody said anything. Isn't that amazing?
You know, people stop fucking with Jermaine O'Neal after he hit that fan with the one hitter quarter, too.
Dude, everybody, think about all the best defensive players in the league. And I guarantee you go down the list, the ones that get respect, they will fuck someone up. Tyson Chandler. He'll put them skinny ass elbows right into your grill, dude. No, it won't even act like he did anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That matters, man. Roy Hibbert, man. Get mean, dude. You gotta get nasty. You see Charlene Battier coming towards the hole, yoke his ass up one time, and it's
that shit
over.
Will change.
That's actually why I used to hate, and I still do, the Dallas Mavericks. Because I was like, they were always so soft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, dude, Dirk, you're like 7 feet tall, and you're letting dudes muscle you because you want to be finesse. I don't give a shit. Like, I remember when the Heat beat them in that game.
Yeah.
And beat them in the finals, and they were all mad, and, oh, Dwayne Wade going to the, he went to the line too much. I was like, because he actually tried to play basketball. They played physical. You guys are playing like pussies. So.
Basically.
I'm sorry.
This is what losers do.
Yeah.
The fact that you're talking to the press at all about some fucking Shane Battier, you probably had 2 points.
Like, what happened when you were, like, in school where it was like, you know, I got fouled. Are you bleeding? Nah, it's not a foul then.
Yeah. Shane Battier, plus, like, it's not like he said LeBron. Shane Battier, man. You letting Shane Battier get in your fucking head, man. See, this is why you lose. This is why you lose, bro. Like, losers talk about shit like Shane Battier was pushing. Winners be saying shit like, Michael Jordan's wrong about me. I can't go to my left. That's what winners say.
Winners be like, I got a new shoe coming out.
Right. New shoes coming out. See you guys Thursday. The Bulls. Athletic trainer was named the athletic trainer of the year.
How is that possible? Are you serious?
I'm not joking. His name is Tedeschi. He got the Fred Tedeschi was named athletic trainer of the year. It's voted upon by his colleagues in the NBA Athletic Trainers Association. And I gotta say, man, this is the biggest troll of all time to Derrick Rose. Cause they basically gave him the award because he said Derrick Rose should be back, in 8 to 12 months or whatever. And he cleared him to play. But Derrick Rose never got on the court.
Nope.
So what are you guys really going by other than the fact he said he cleared him to play? So apparently, the Trainers Association is full of dicks for, you know, supporting this shit. That's fucked up, man.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, anyway.
I found it odd too, considering the whole team fell apart at the end of the year. Like, they was out there playing.
He went out there putting it back together again.
Why didn't he fix Luau Deng's now? What's now virus? Remember? Did everybody forget that he got sick during the playoffs and just stopped playing for the next 6 weeks?
Kirk Heinrich.
Mm-hmm. Kirk Heinrich got sick. Like, what was happening then, dog?
I don't know, man. I just feel like if you have a hard time deciding who should get it, you always give it to the Phoenix Suns staff just because.
Yeah.
I just feel like the Phoenix Suns staff should always get it just for, Grant Hill reasons.
Ain't that the truth?
Well,
just
congrats, buddy.
Well,
I guess none of it's your fault. Ben Roethlisberger, speaking of,
break from white chicks.
Yeah. Speaking of injuries to injured parties, Ben Roethlisberger challenges all the young quarterbacks in the league.
To what, a rape contest?
Did someone?
I don't understand this. What is we challenging?
Oh, rape contest! Oh, God.
Was he forced to say this?
he probably didn't consent to saying it, if that's what you mean. But,
I mean. So they didn't have to bend him over backwards or anything?
No. Because he's going to say, this is how you get the bitches. You get them drunk, you get them in the bathroom.
Well, he probably had a DTI shirt, down to interview.
You know what it is, Roethlisberger's thing is he got the that method that Rod always says about getting out of the friend zone. Just pull your dick out.
Yeah, exactly.
Just pull your dick out.
He's a believer.
No matter where, when, how, if she asks for it, just pull your dick out.
They don't have to ask.
Yeah, he didn't even get to the consent part of my discussion. He's just like, what'd you say?
He says, hi, here's my dick. My name's Ben Roethlisberger.
you don't need to know my name.
In that order.
People ask me all the time about these young quarterbacks, but not my rape cases. And I say, let's wait. Let's wait 1 year. Does not mean a lot in this league. Let's see what happens in 2-3 years.
Yep. Wait, everybody will forget about all the women that are constantly suing me, and they will forever have me on their books of suing.
Matter of fact, let's wait 4 or 5 years. I mean, if these ladies aren't saying anything, then who was right? That's what I'm saying.
My dick was.
Winning will determine everything.
I wonder if he keeps a lock of pube hair as memento.
He says, I'm not trying to take anything away from them. I think they did some great things last year. They all have the potential to be great quarterbacks. But you don't want people to jump on their bandwagon so fast, put so much pressure on them to live up to those expectations. My advice to them is to, to keep doing what you're doing. Play as hard as you can. Don't take no for an answer. Never stop, never give up, never surrender. If the cops come, you ain't seen nothing. Shut the fuck up.
He's a hate of bouncers.
He says, my advice to them is to keep doing what you're doing. Play as hard as you can, because people will keep trying to build you up and it could get tough.
Okay? Who is he really throwing shade at?
Robert Griffin, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick.
A bunch of people that can throw the ball better than him?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So is he making that a comparison to, like, you see Cam's first year?
See, that was the thing I was looking for, and the reason that, you know, I didn't go in on him, because he didn't say Cam. Because if he would have said Cam didn't have a good year last year, I would have been like, can you go look up the statistics, sir? Because technically, he had about the same year. So, it just, you know, the team sucks. But,
yes, it does.
Speaking of the team sucking, Coach K is going to coach the U.S. Dream Team again.
Can you actually pronounce his last name?
Mike Krzyzewski.
I can't pronounce it. What about you, Chris?
Krzyzewski? Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Congrats to you, sir. That's it, though. That's an educated brother.
Yeah, Krzyzewski. Listen, man. Coach K going to coach the Olympic basketball team. Good. One, I like when he does this because it means Duke as a school typically falls off a bit. Because he believes in that shit, man. He dedicates a lot of time to these fucking medals, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, man, it means we're going to win gold. So thank you. Yay, Coach K. Thank you.
I wonder who can he get to sign up and play, though?
Let me guess. LeBron.
Right.
I hope LeBron.
Durant.
But I don't want LeBron to do it.
He's going to get the best people. That's why they keep signing him up.
The thing about Kobe is Kobe kept playing year after year, deep in the playoffs, playing somewhere in the summer, Olympics, this and that. I want LeBron to rest.
Yeah, I feel you. Phil Jackson wasn't a huge asshole. I'd love for him to coach the team, but he's a dick.
Oh, man. This is why, again, Jordan and Phil Jackson are the... Do you follow Phil Jackson on...
Yes.
Yeah. I fucking love this guy, yo.
What do you say? 11 rings or some shit like that?
Yeah, he messed it up or something like that. But not just that, but it's just like... He is an asshole. Like, right now, the whole, like, what teams are trying to get Phil... None of them are going to get Phil Jackson. None of them are going to get Phil Jackson. Because they're not good enough to get Phil Jackson. And Phil Jackson don't really want to coach.
Yeah, last week he was a dick to Kobe Bryant by bringing up that Michael Jordan is better than Kobe Bryant.
Right.
Like nobody, he wrote a book about it and we needed, cause no one knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But then this week, I read that he actually said if he had to pick his own dream team, he'd start with Bill Russell and not Michael Jordan. So he's a dick. He's a dick, man. He don't give a fuck.
He's been living that, flip-flops and linen shirts and shorts life for a while now. He does not give a shit.
This is what happens when you fuck the boss's daughter.
Yeah.
True.
And you won't give her that ring. This is what happens, man. Like, it fucks your ego not supposed to handle that.
Like, no, I knew Phil was a... he completed his assholeness with me when I realized that he wanted to come back and coach but not really go to the games.
Dude, this nigga said, I'll coach. He's like, I'll consider coaching. Let's talk about the contract. They're like, all right, is this much money the most ever? You know, what accommodations would you like? The most money ever? That's cool. Okay, I keep that number the same. But what I would like to do, I want my special chair. And, you know how that thing is a bitch to get on the plane, right? It is a bitch to get on the plane, man. It's like not enough compartment space and shipping is a lot. So what I'm thinking is let's just save money on shipping this year and let me just only coach half the games. I'll coach at home.
Right. Yo, dog, and the thing that got me about it was teams are going to consider it, yo.
Yo.
Of course.
The Lakers thought about that shit. They can't. I know that it got so contentious at the end they had to pretend they didn't, but you a goddamn lie if you tell me you didn't go. He could Skype in to those.
To those
role games. He's just sitting there anyway, right?
I feel like he's trolling. He's just throwing shit out there to be like, yeah, I only want to coach half the games, and I want my Gatorade at like a chilled 32 degrees at all times. Right. And he's like, well, fuck it, let's just see what happens. And they're right. Like, does it matter what flavor Gatorade? Cause,
I want them to invent my own Phil Jackson flavor. If they could get one, either a hibiscus tea or a marijuana flavored Gatorade, just for me, that would be fine. I don't want it sold in stores. Just you pay the manufacturing cost for me to drink this Gatorade.
It's fucking awesome, yo. I him and Michael Jordan are like, if I was just to say get rich and be like, fuck it, I can be an asshole all my life, I want to be like them.
Yeah, I still want to be like Mike.
Yeah,
rich and too shaded, too sheltered to give a fuck. Yeah. Chuck Norris is in the news for sports. What? But it's ball deep. It's balls deep, Rod. What could he possibly have done? He was talking about the homie himself, Tebow the God.
Praise Tebow.
Let me play some of this commentary on Sweet Teases.
Myself, when I used to compete in
martial arts. Wait, why did this shit skip to the beginning? I mean, skip 15 seconds.
A little bit about Tim Tebow, because Chuck Norris happens to think that Tim Tebow is a lot like him. Look at what Norris had to say. He reminds me of myself when I used to compete in martial arts. I would spar with my black belts in class, and sometimes they would outscore me. Yet in the tournaments, I would defeat them. My students used to ask me, why can't we contend equally against you in class, but we can't beat you in tournaments? My answer was always the same. When it counts, I rise to the occasion. The same is true of the former Heisman winner. When pressure mounts and the game is on the line, Tim's turbo turns on. So what do you think of that assessment by Chuck Norris?
Well, I don't I don't care what Chris Carter thinks. Chris from Insanity Check, what do you think?
So when Tom Brady and the Patriots whooped that ass, at what point did Tim Tebow turn the turbo on and rise to the occasion? Yeah.
He is no longer in the league. When did he rise to the occasion?
Right. They beat them like, 53-0 or some shit like that? Like,
yes. Hey, man, I support Tim Tebow because he is,
I love him too now,
the white black quarterback.
Right.
Like, this motherfucker is to white people what Vince Young and Michael Vick are to black people.
Yep, they love him just to love him.
White people love this nigga, and despite the fact that he's way worse than both of the quarterbacks I just named. Like,
Oh yeah.
He could not hold their jock strap. But white people be like, so what if he doesn't practice well? When he gets in the game, like, you practice more than you play, dog. You practice 6 days a week and you play once. Like, it matters if you can't practice.
That's Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
And he doesn't succeed.
But we're talking about practice, though. We're just talking about practice.
They be winning in spite of this nigga, man. I love it. Oh, I love it so much, man. I wish he was starting again.
Didn't the defense score more points than him?
Dude, he's had, not just that.
Yeah.
Every Tebow game would have to be a comeback, so it'll be dramatic. But it's only a comeback because he's played so shitty
the whole
for
game.
3.5 quarters.
Throw interceptions over the dude, under the dude.
He was the perfect person for me to have the NFL Red Zone channel for.
Yes.
Because I don't want to see that shit. Like, I don't want to see none of them first three quarters, dude. Like, real purists of football fans, they always hate when I say this stuff, because they're always like, Rod, how can you root for him? Football is terrible. I watch his games. 3.5 quarters, he's playing terrible. And then they win luckily in the fourth. I'm like, right. But on Red Zone, they don't show those plays.
No, they don't.
Suck. But they only show the ones where he's coming back, and that's why I like him.
You know, the ironic thing is he has a high winning percentage. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the Cowboys quarterback, supposedly he plays great for three quarters and terrible for one and loses his game. So
yeah.
Right. I'd rather have one great quarter that wins me the game than three great quarters and I
Tony
lose.
Rumbo too.
There's something to it. Like, he's got to be some type of leader to get those dudes to rally behind him. And I don't mean the offense. I'm talking about the defense. ain't too many quarterbacks that can play like shit all day and then go to the defense and be like, now you get out there and get the ball back. And they're like, yeah, Tim. Like, they do it though. So yeah, Chuck Norris, overrated white man talking about another overrated white man. So that was awesome. I already covered that Bill Russell is better than Jordan according to Phil Jackson. Kevin Durant, classy motherfucker, gave $1 million to the Red Cross for tornado relief, Oklahoma got hit with a tornado.
out of the
last
blue.
Week. Yeah.
Can I just say that Durant is to me the new LeBron, and that he's going to get a lot of, and I hate, this is all a reason why I don't watch as much basketball as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you get these great players like LeBron and KD, and because they're not great right away, and they're not winning championships right away, they're all of a sudden, oh yeah, yeah, look. Yeah, Durant's not going to be elite because he's like, are you shitting me?
Right.
Like this, not only is he a great player, but he's such a great dude. Like, he's always been just like, he has a positive attitude about it. Every time I see an interview for him, he sounds like a great, like the whole thing with this, donating this money here. It's like, he doesn't come out there, like, you would think that the younger guys like him will come out into the media and would just be an asshole. And be a dick and be entitled and so like, but Durant has been nothing like that. Man, I love that guy, and it's not just because he's from my area.
Yeah,
but he's such a good dude that I can't wait until he starts winning championships so motherfucking shut the fuck up.
And he did it through his charity. Like, he didn't do it himself. He didn't like show it with a check or announce it. There's no picture of him like doing a photo op or anything like that. He like sent his manager of his foundation to give these people some money. Some just old white dude shaking hands, and that's it. A little check, no demonstration for the. It's just all about, him wanting to give, man. So yeah, it's awesome. Now that being said, the only reason that I sometimes have an issue with Durant is because I like Russell Westbrook way more than everybody else, because he's an asshole and he has an asshole face.
Well, I was about to say that the flip side of that is I also like Westbrook too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So,
I like them. Yeah. I like them. They're a good team together, right? Because it's like one dude's very calm, or like other dude just hyper and out there in your face. It's like I love them together.
It's like Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte. You know what I mean? Like, it works because they're kind of opposite. And the thing is, they don't have any problems with each other.
Nope.
It's always these fans trying to make it a problem. So I will admit this postseason, I was a little tough on Durant because I want people to realize Westbrook is important. Yeah. And that team is shit without him. So
yes, they are.
Stop bitching about him shooting too much. When I was looking at those games with Durant, I was like, I really wish someone else would want to shoot the ball. I mean, the brother's about to pass out there. It's like, you shoot it again, Durant.
Yeah, that's the thing I loved about that. Because I actually watched a lot of that series, and people were getting on Durant about it. And I was like, well, you do realize that you're 7 foot tall, like power forward, is bringing the ball up, running the offense, and playing like 48 minutes a game, right? You do realize that that's what's wrong with this team. Oh, and by the way, the coach has no fucking idea.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It was like, terrible that, watching them, man.
He's really one of the worst coaches in the league.
Yes, and the reason why, you would watch the game, and literally, they would literally stand around and fucking look at each other. Nobody would pick and roll. Nobody would come to the man with the ball. It was almost like everybody was lost.
Well, it's funny because if Westbrook hadn't been there all these years, that guy gets fired because there's too many plays where there's 4 seconds left and they're like, just get a ball to Russell, see if he can get to the basket.
Yep.
You know? And then it's like, then everybody looks at the end of the game and they're like, man, Russell Westbrook shot 28 times and Durant only shot 20. It's like, yeah, because there's probably like, I don't know, 18 possessions where it's like, just give a ball to Westbrook, see if he's like, faster.
It was like, oh, well, Durant in the fourth kind of disappearing. It's like, well, you know, he's played the entire fucking game against, you know, pretty scrappy team. I'm pretty sure he's exhausted. Like, he'll never say, and that's the thing that gets me about Durant is he's almost too nice. He's almost got that Tim Duncan where it's like, dude, it's not your fault, but because you're so nice and quiet and you take the whole weight of the team on yourself, it's going to be your fault type of deals with it. And I'm just like, yo, I can't wait until they get a new coach and Russell Westbrook comes back, yo. Cause if they keep Westbrook and Durant and they get a new coach, oh, shit.
The good news for Durant is this. It's always when everybody starts calling you a choker and hates on you that you start winning championships.
Oh, yep.
The dudes that they never do that to never win shit. Like, as much as the people love him, nobody does that to Chris Paul. Nobody does it to Melo.
Nope.
Like, you know, you get a few people that are like, I'm tired of y'all overhyping them, but nobody ever really goes Carmelo Anthony's a choker, and he's right. not, like, because we don't expect shit from him, but they expect shit from Durant, exactly. so we keep hearing it.
So how long until the coach gets fired? Because they fired Vinny Del Negro with the Clippers.
Yeah, I don't know.
He did an excellent job.
I feel like the irony of this shit is, as much as it exposes that they have a bad coach, it also gives him an extension for another year of excuses, because he can go, well, if Westbrook wouldn't have got hurt, we would have beat Memphis. Right.
And so, I told y'all not to sign Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, I knew they shouldn't have done that. That's what's funny is I brought that up on Twitter. I was like, man, they signed Kendrick Perkins, and honestly, that fucked up this whole team, because they still have Harden, Ibaka, and Durant, and Westbrook.
Yeah, I was about to ask, did they get Perkins for Harden?
No, what they did, the year before they had to re-sign Perkins or Harden or even consider that, what they did was they went and got, I mean, I'm sorry, Ibaka or Harden. They went and got Perkins from the Celtics, like as a free agent for like $10 million a year or something, right? Not a ton of money, but you're overpaying for him. He's not good like that.
No.
But he was overrated as a defender or whatever, so they went and paid money to get him. They thought they would need him in the West Coast. Well, turns out, they went and signed Ibaka to an extension a year early, and which meant that they had to bite the bullet on Harden. You know, they couldn't afford them all, so they let Harden go. And now Harden's on Houston. But it's like, if you would have just not paid Perkins, you know, you'd have more money to work with now. And I would much rather have Harden.
If Westbrook did go down like he did, you then have Harden there.
Right, exactly.
To help. Because, like, you have other, there are a couple other people that can help a little bit, but not to level. Like, once you lose Westbrook or Durant, like, where do you go? Like, when you lose one of them, I mean, who is your next go-to guy?
Yeah, Perkins isn't irreplaceable. Like, if you lose Perkins, you're still losing, like, 7-8 points and 8 rebounds.
Right.
Yeah. Will you say something, Justin?
I was going to say, well, LeBron carried the team when Wade went out.
LeBron James is the best player in the NBA.
They also have Bosh.
I'm not giving him. What I'm saying is that he still should have been able to win out the team they lost to.
Well, you know what? Honestly, though, and this is just point blank, Kevin Durant's not good as LeBron James.
Nope.
And there's no shame in that. Like, that's what fucks people up, is that they get in all these arguments about the top five and these rankings and shit. There's a big ass gap between one and everybody else.
Yeah, between LeBron and everybody.
Oh, yeah. It's a big ass gap. So being the second best player in the NBA don't really mean that much, because LeBron James could single-handedly take like the Cavs team to the finals.
Yes.
With Eeny, Meeny, Miny, and Moe as his fucking teammates. And that is no shame in no one else being able to do that. There's no other, like, let's forget about LeBron for a second. Okay, Kevin Durant couldn't carry that team. Melo couldn't carry his team. Chris Paul couldn't carry his team. Blake Griffin couldn't carry his team. It's nobody else like that. Kobe, you know, even Kobe had, you know, dealing with all those injuries and shit. He couldn't carry this team, man. Like, it's a beast, man. Like, LeBron just a beast, man. It's
like,
not fair.
LeBron really is, like I said, it's just, look at the way he's built. I mean, this is a guy who can, like, he's a fucking freight train. Like, you can't stop him if he drives. His jumper is now is fucking, you know, hitting nothing but net. It's like, he defends, he jumps out the fucking gym. Like, he just has a skill set that nobody else. He, like you said, it's a huge gap between him.
No, it's no offense. It's no offense to Kevin.
No, it's not an offense to anybody. It's just like, you can't do anything about that. Like, the person that stops LeBron is LeBron.
Right.
He's now reached that level of the person that stops him is himself, and he no longer stops himself.
Right.
So
it's a wrap, dog.
Yeah.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah. He gonna win. He gonna win until he tired of winning or something fucked up happens, like he get injured. That's it.
So
that's why I feel bad for KD a little bit, because he can have some. Luckily he's young, but he can't have some until LeBron's done eating. So
you're right.
Here's 2 minutes and 20 seconds of why hip-hop is not that original. How many times have you guys ever heard Alonzo Mourning's name used in a punchline for a rap?
Who the hell's talking about Alonzo Mourning?
Well, people always do. They think, you know, oh, I had your girl moaning like Alonzo, shit like that. Yeah, let me just play some of this for you guys. 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Oh, God damn it.
Mm-hmm. 2 minutes and 20 seconds of rap artists who thought they were going to reinvent the wheel using Alonzo Mourning as the punchline in the rap. Walk these streets with Mo Heath and Alonzo Mourning. Now how many toasters can these smokers keep pouring? Watch these rap niggas get all up in your tonsils. Without sticker, you'll be mourning like Alonzo. I'm a hunter like Alonzo, smoke you like Fonzo, leave you in mourning like Alonzo. Alonzo Mourning, some say he mean, but Tim Hardaway crossover be green. Blaze, bring the heat till you're mourning like Alonzo. Head honcho like Eastwood, gun in my poncho. Yeah, have your whole family mourning like Alonzo. They go back to my condo, so I can let my kind. I'm not in mourning like Alonzo, over his kidneys. All chickens be friendly when they with me. We could do the city. At 9 p.m., you get caught up in my rhyme flow. By the way, that last line referenced the fact that he had his kidney taken out.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Rappers, dog. Rappers. Before you know it, this morning like Alonzo. The cell blocks, man. I live in Congo. And every morning I feel like Alonzo. Every morning like Alonzo, I was serving and dishing. Getting that money, fam, no matter the weather conditions. Money long like arms on Alonzo morning. But it's in the right heat it up in the morning. Dude, thank God.
A collaboration?
Thank God nothing else fucked up happened to Alonzo, because they be using that right now just to get that rhyme with Mourning.
Okay, I'm going to say that's the only reason, because other than that, it makes no sense to me.
Your sister get raped like Mourning Alonzo.
I didn't realize he was that popular.
Me either. Alonzo, and I get it, I bet it, I spit it, I hit it up in the Tahoe. Bronco, you won't see the morning like Alonzo. Can't believe in any streets rappers claim to be on. They really in front of Ning like Alonzo Mourning. Yeah, sex in the morning. Slumdunk, yeah.
Was that the reggaeton version?
I guess so.
Overclock, boy.
Sound boy Alonzo Mourning. Run up on the kid, I have you mourning like Alonzo. Good morning, like Alonzo. Shit out like a tonsil. I'm working out in the morning, my trainer name is Alonzo. Put down on him like the Kimbe, Patrick Mourning. Early morning like Lonzo. Fast paper, no grind slow. We ain't letting them pies go. Y'all niggas smelling like Five-O. Carry heat like Alonzo. A nine like you Rondo. Then you hit the block. I need my money pronto. Get it in the morning like Alonzo. Run green, got cheese like a nacho. Roll up the inhale. I live next to Denzel. Alonzo, my condo cost $3 million. This shit real. From the night stay until the morning. Alonzo said she try to come. Can I assist? Rondo. Old player with the heat, call me Alonzo. Yank a nigga, don't win, give a fuck if it was John Doe. Many hoes ring like LeBron, no. But I'm gone in the morning like Alonzo. Auto porter with all the water serving the corners. Wait for calling up Zell morning before the turning. Yeah, so.
Can I just say that just made me realize that white people might actually have a point about rap music.
Yeah, I feel like we need to get in a rap game. I can come up with at least 10 more whack ways to use Alonzo Mourning's name.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the closing segment of the show. We do this every week. Let me play the theme music. La 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 la. Hey Mamba. Hey Kobe, how you doing, bro? That's right, it's This Week in Mamba, the weekly update on all things Kobe Bryant. First things first, this is one of the reasons that I like Kobe Bryant, because I was upset with Charlotte and for us getting fucked up in the draft lotto.
Yep.
And he wanted to remind me, hey, don't give up hope, brother, because I was drafted by the Charlotte Hornets. Number 13, I have the picture to prove it. He posted it on Instagram, him wearing the Charlotte Hornets hat, smiling. And he just failed to mention that we traded him for Vlade Divac immediately.
Yes, we did.
He never played
a second
for the Charlotte Bobcats.
In fact, he demanded that he not play here.
Yeah. You said that he was smiling. Wait a minute, didn't he demand that he not play?
Yeah, he demanded he didn't play.
He was like, I will not play here.
This is definitely an asshole move.
My nigga.
Yeah, this is why I like him though.
Because I remember this draft. Like, I was like, yes, we're gonna get Kobe Bryant. What do you mean he's not coming? Why are we getting this old ass nigga for him? I don't understand.
You know, at the time I didn't know who he was, but I knew I didn't want Vladdy.
No. Like, that's the thing about Kobe, though, is his trolling level is so much better than Jordan's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he does the trolling with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know you got trolled till a few minutes later. You're like, wait a minute, dog.
I think you're picking
Why would you
me.
Say that? You know? So, yeah, he trolled all of the Bobcats fans and Hornets fans with the...
All in one. He trolled both group of fans.
You guys could have had this.
But I'm going to put these titties up and go out to
LA. Only made it better is if the next Instagram picture was a picture of him with all his rings.
Right.
That's the only thing that would have made it better.
After the 15 All-Star selections.
But read the caption he put with it, though, Rod, with the picture.
He said, in honor of the name change, the 13th pick NBA, hashtag 13th pick, hashtag NBA draft, hashtag 96, hashtag fresh face.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
Hashtag fuck you niggas.
Yeah. Hashtag fuck y'all team. But yeah, man, so and here's the thing, I don't blame him. It's not his fault. In 1996, high school drafting was still relatively a new thing.
Yes, it was.
That's why we got him at 13 and not 3.
That's right.
And it's the Charlotte Hornets fault, because when you look at your caller ID during the draft and the name on that fucking phone says Jerry West, you don't answer that.
Yeah, because he knows something that you don't know.
That has never worked out well for anyone. There's no Lakers trade under Jerry West. So you're like, man, they've really ripped the Lakers off. It's always some ridiculous bullshit.
Shit. Well, you're like, y'all niggas got ripped off by the Lakers.
Yeah, it's always something stupid. It's like,
I want to know how that phone call went. He's like, hey guys, so this guy Kobe Bryant you got here, I don't, I'm willing to take him off your hands for you.
Yeah.
We got this guy named Vladdy. So how about you take Vladdy Divac? And what? Because, you know, it's a young high school kid. You got to develop him. We'll take care of that for you. Yeah. Like,
Magic saw him in a film a while back. Magic has some connection with his dad. We're doing it as a favor.
Yeah.
But listen. We're going to send you two Laker girls.
Right.
Yep.
To go along with this trade, free of charge.
And some courtside seats.
We're going to throw these two Laker girls in there. Like, they, even though they're not officially under Lakers contract, we're going to send them in a, you pick whichever two you want.
Yeah. They have a poll on the show. It said, on the, Bleacher Report, it says, was Kobe's trolling more cruel or hysterical? Cruel, 8.5%, hysterical, 35%, and perfect combination of both, 57%.
Yeah, I give it a perfect.
Yeah, that was pretty perfect. He's flawless, dude. He's a beast.
Yeah.
So yeah, apparently back in 2012, Kobe recounted the events in 1996. Shortly after the draft, he spoke with the Hornets coach, Dave Cowens. And he said, Dave Cowens said to Kobe, you know what the deal is, right? Kobe indicated that he did. He said, well, that's good because we don't need you anyway.
What?
Nigga.
Yes, that's why you did not stay the coach.
Is that guy still coaching?
No.
Even as an assistant, I mean. I know he's not a head coach.
No.
I know he ain't never told that story to nobody.
No, he ain't.
Not in Charlotte. He ain't.
He ain't.
We don't need you anyway. Get the fuck. We got Kendall Gill, bitch. Now get out of here. We rolling with Muggsy, Kendall Gill, and now
Larry
we getting now we getting Vladdy? Bitch,
we
it's
about
on.
To win.
Man, get your young ass out of here. You ain't gonna be shit.
You know what it is.
Kobe, the other thing that happened this week, Kobe Bryant tweets on his retirement, Michael Jordan, and his own memoir. That's right. A little bonus. Hey, Mamba. Kobe set the record straight on Twitter on Sunday night when the notion of an early retirement came. He said, really? Me? Retire? Soon, but not yet. Vino still has work to do. Number 35, OG KB. Versus KB, hashtag OG, hashtag KBVFF. Speculation ran rampant over the weekend after Bryant posted a cryptic message to Facebook saying, you won't want to miss the Sports Spectacular live stream Sunday, Mamba video, hashtag surprise, hashtag announcement.
Oh, snap.
Bryant is recovering from April surgery to repair a torn Achilles tendon, but his announcement had nothing to do with retirement. Instead, Kobe held an Kobe Up Close event. He's going to hold it on August 15th to raise money to help eradicate homelessness. Troll!
Look at Kobe, man.
He went and tweeted about retirement and then flipped that shit into people having to tune in about some homelessness.
Like, I am now back to being a Kobe fan. Because for a while there, he started trying to actually care about what other people thought of him and not troll people.
Mm-hmm.
But now he is in full troll mode. Like when he was live tweeting that fucking game.
Oh, man.
Up top on that, Chris.
That was epic.
He had to stop because he was telling too much truth.
Truce.
It wasn't even a matter of like, oh, he's a dick because he's saying mean things. He was saying shit that people in the, like, I know the people on the team that read those tweets had to ask D'Antoni about it. It's like, why aren't we giving the ball to Dwight and Powell in the paint so we can loosen them up inside for our shooters? And then,
I was reading the tweets and I was laughing at it, and then I realized that Kobe was saying them. Cause at first I thought it was just a random nigga on Twitter. Normal nigga shit. And I was like, oh shit, this is Kobe?
Yes.
Like, he is now officially Darth Kobe. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I love it, yo. I love it. He does not care. This is the Kobe that I've been waiting for. I fucking love it.
And on the low, he's been doing this since he won his second ring.
Yep.
Yeah.
Since he got one more ring to Shaq, that's when he's been doing it. So a lot of people don't know that. Check his press conferences. I don't miss any Kobe Bryant post-game press conferences. Cause he always say some real nigga old man shit. It's just
no. He's been doing, but now it's like it's even more. Like
right.
His post conversations have always been that way, but it's always been like a little bit of him trying too much. Like
yeah,
at one point I was mad when he trolled in that game 7 they lost.
Yeah,
when he just started passing. Like I was mad. I look back at it now and I'm like, yo, that's the greatest troll job
ever.
Yo,
he stopped. Dude, my favorite is when he started cursing. See, that's the point. Like, for me, it was, like I said, I think it was 2 years ago after the second ring by himself, you know, where he won MVP. He started cursing in interviews and it was just random. Like, no, he wouldn't even be mad. You know, it's just be like, oh man, you know, Paul, likes to get in the pain and mix shit up a little bit. And, Dwight was fucking up tonight. So I was like, what? Did he just say shit? You can't say shit on T, but he doesn't never stop himself.
Yeah.
So nope.
But you know, we talk about, what would you say is his greatest moment of being an asshole during a game?
Oh, you already know. It's actually my favorite Kobe Bryant game of all time. nobody else probably picks this game as their favorite game of Kobe Bryant.
You know we had a conversation about it now.
Oh, no, me and you. But you know it's a very small island that we're on. Like, when I tell this to people, I typically just piss them off and they realize what kind of dude I am. But
what game is it, Rod?
Game 7 of the Suns series where he decided, no, Smush Parker, you take the shot.
Oh, no, dude, that's the game I'm talking about.
This is right after Phil Jackson was like, yeah, you know, Kobe does shoot a little bit. You know, I think if he passed the ball more, get the team involved.
Yeah. Phil tried to buy into that bullshit. Like, Kobe, you know what? Media, you're right. Kobe shoots the ball a little too much. We're working on that. Probably should be more patient, believe in his teammates. He was like, oh, I'm going to believe.
Wasn't this the same season the book was out? Kobe's a gunner, all these things.
Yeah.
Kobe's okay.
And this right here lets you know that all y'all motherfuckers talking about what the fuck you're talking about. Here you go, Smush. Bang. All right.
He ended the season.
Yeah. He just didn't care.
And the thing is, they started off 3-1 in this series.
Yeah.
And then he realized around the middle of game 5, like, oh man, these niggas suck. Like, as soon as the Suns started playing defense on the Mills, like, everybody folded. So he was like, all right, I'm going to give it one more good try game 6. And that was when everyone turned on. They was like, why are you shooting so much? He's like, this is the fuck I do. Look around. My team sucks. I have to shoot the ball this much or we won't even be in the game. Everybody's like, no, believe in your teammates. Michael Jordan would have passed it to him. He's like, oh, he would have?
No, I'm sorry, but I love that shit, yo.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Like, at the time, I was mad, but then I was like, you know what? That was brilliant.
I wasn't mad.
Nigga, he shot one from 3 feet outside of half court. Like, he just crossed over half court, made a pass to Smush, and looked at this nigga like, well, the Smush and the, like, everybody made like 5 passes because nobody wanted to shoot it. And then they threw it back to him at half court and he launched like fuck
4 seconds.
Y'all.
It was like 4 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah,
he didn't try to get closer. He didn't do anything. He was like, oh, okay, back to me.
Yeah, he's like, but y'all don't want me to shoot though, right? I loved it. It's my favorite game, dude. It might be my favorite NBA game.
Dude, I will get, this is where you have the real, is Kobe better than Michael Jordan joint? because it's not about their gameplay. It's about the trolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as an overall asshole, Jordan's better. But Jordan never had a trolling in-game trolling game quite like
Jordan this. Couldn't handle Twitter and social media.
No,
I don't think he can handle it. Like niggas wouldn't be buying his shoes. He would be like Chris Brown, and they'll take his Twitter.
You're right.
It is one of the most fascinating rewatchable NBA games in the history of the NBA, man. And like, I'm not trolling, I'm not joking, but it is when you see one dude have a realization that his teammates don't even belong in the NBA. Cause like, Smush Parker's not in the NBA anymore.
Nope.
Kwame Brown definitely didn't, but he was a starter on that team. He was not an NBA caliber player. Luke Walton never was a starter again. Chris Mim, when's the last time you heard that name?
That's true.
They had Sasha Vujacic, that was it.
Vujacic, they had like, I think Devin George was still on the team at the time, maybe. Oh. Like,
Trevor Ariza, like first year or something.
Yeah,
like
only
that.
Lamar Odom was like a NBA caliber like starting player, and he still ended up being a six man for most of his career. So like, Kobe basically was right.
Yep. Can you imagine Kobe having Twitter then? Like he would like him live tweeting that game. That's what he needs to live tweet.
And like, what a stage to prove it on.
Right.
Because the spotlight had never been on him more because the narrative they set up was, well, if Kobe is any type of Michael Jordan. Even though an eighth seed is never going to be the one seed, if Kobe's any type of Michael Jordan, tonight comes out, he has 50 points, 27 assists, 14 rebounds. He hits the last second game-winning shot, and then he solves homelessness in his off time. And he basically rejected all that shit and was like, no, nigga, fuck y'all.
You know, the thing about Jordan, too, is, you know, his most celebrated celebration is when he hit the shot on Cleveland. He jumps up free throw line, fist pumps, all those things. Wasn't that just to get out the first round?
Yeah, against Craig Elo, by the way. No one ever mentions that Craig Elo's 6'2". Yeah,
then you had to go get beat by Detroit three more years.
Yeah. And my favorite part about this, the press conference after the game, Kobe acted like he didn't quit, and that made it better. People were mad as shit. They're like, but he quit, dog. He's like, played hard.
I'm going to give you this. Kobe has the greatest. Oh, what are you talking about? Wait.
Yeah.
What, huh? Yeah, he has that. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He did. He played excellent D.
Right.
Distributed the ball very well.
Right.
I mean, what else do you want him to do?
It's like, because it was one of those moments where I can't prove anything. Yeah. But I know you didn't play hard, Kobe. I know you didn't, man.
This is the thing about
Kobe's like, are you sure?
You sure you saw what you saw?
This is the thing about Kobe too, man. Like he never runs from press conferences. Like if you ever noticed that, like even at the terrible game, Kobe will be right up there at the press conference podium. He'll answer the questions. He doesn't treat them like Popovich does. He'll answer the questions. He'll be like, you know what? I might have missed a few shots.
Hey,
it looked good to me.
If you put in the Google, Kobe Bryant game 7, it autofills Phoenix. This is beautiful. And the first article that comes up is why Kobe didn't quit game 7. Oh, man. I love this nigga, man. Oh. He took 13 shots in the first half and 3 in the second.
Wow.
Scoring 1 point on an illegal defense free throw. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. I loved it.
No point shaving.
Ooh, sweet Jesus, man. Anyway, this has been another Balls Deep. This is, of course, the Hey Mama segment. La, 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 la. Hey Mamba. So yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Chris, for doing the show. Check him out. Insanity Check Podcast. Make sure you guys are listening to that. That is almost like another spinoff show because anytime I can get on that shit, I always hop on.
Yep.
I'm like, oh shit, y'all doing the show? Let's do it. And of course, you guys know Justin and Karen from the Blackout Tips and Karen from Lip Smacking Good now. So thank you guys for being guests on the show. And well, Justin's pretty much co-hosted this show. Mm-hmm. But Karen, thank you for being a guest.
Oh, you're welcome, because I'll be at work next week.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I had a ball deep to myself, though. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see you guys next week when we go balls deep on some other sports topics. Peace.